Jenny Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. I'm so glad that you're here joining me today. In today's episode, we're going to be doing some reflection work about our own stories. But before we do that, let's take a minute to slow everything down. And so right now, let's just notice what is happening in our bodies. Slowly go from your feet to your legs, to your hips, to your belly, to your back, to your shoulders, your chest, your arms, your neck, your head, at your own speed, and just pay attention to what you notice there. Any tension that you notice, any sensations, any pain, any energy. So now, as much as you're able, now that you've noticed that, go ahead and do what your body feels like it needs. If it's feeling tense, maybe you can do a little massage or a little stretch. If it feels like you've got a lot of pent-up energy, maybe you need to hop around or shake it out. If it feels like you're in an uncomfortable position, maybe rearrange your body to feel more comfortable. Take a deep breath. And when you're ready, we'll go ahead and move on with today's reflection episode. Our theme this year on our podcast is Tell Your Story. And at the beginning of the year, I talked about ways that we might look at elements of our own stories. And so today we're going to do that, and we're going to do that through the lens of the characters that are in our stories. So today I'd love for you to think about who are the characters that show up in your story. And then I want to think about how do we view them? How do we interact with them? How do they interact with us? And how do those interactions affect our stories? And even more interestingly, how do their stories interact with our stories? And as we think about those characters in our stories, I want us to think about relationship. That is, after all, the meaning that we add to the characters. How do they relate to us? And more than that, how do we relate to them? Relationship. And what have we told ourselves about the meaning of relationships? How do relationships serve us? And what are the roles that they take up in our lives and in our stories? Anybody who's a reader knows that relationships have a lot to do with the plot of the story, right? What's going on between the characters keeps the plot moving. It's all very important. But how we interpret those relationships and those interactions changes the tone of the story. So in this episode, I'm going to think about relationships through three different paradigms. And the information I talk about today may harken back a little bit to some of what you heard me talk about in our attachment series from last spring. Relationships and how we view and interact in them can take three general forms: independence, codependence, and interdependence. The earliest relationships that we had, in other words, the main characters that took the stage in our early lives, primarily our early caregivers, helped us to begin to acquire a paradigm and how we would prioritize relationships and how we would use relationships. We learned the need for independence, the need for codependence, or the need for interdependence. So let's talk about all three. We'll start with independence. Now, independence is not a bad thing, right? In fact, in our society, we prioritize it. All of us have an innate need for independence. It means that we know we are an autonomous being with our own wants, desires, and motivations. We want to be able to do things for ourselves. If you have ever raised a child or been around a small child, you know that in toddlerhood, they begin to demand, "I do it myself." We all want to do that, starting at a really early age. There's something about it that feels good, being able to do things for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. However, if we learned early on that we could not rely on or trust others to help us get our needs met, either emotionally or physically or both, then we will probably prioritize independence to an unhealthy extent. And to be perfectly honest, I think most of my listeners are here in the United States. In our society, we have kind of an unhealthy desire for independence. There's a huge idea here in America that if I'm successful, I can accomplish things on my own, and I don't probably need other people. And that can show up in so many different areas of life. As a counselor, I often hear people say words like, I feel like a failure that I'm here, that I need help. I feel like I should have been able to manage this on my own. So where does independence venture from healthy to unhealthy? Well, I think when we learn to rely only on ourselves to get our needs met, or we feel like a failure when we have to ask for help, then we may be viewing others as unhelpful, dangerous, untrustworthy, or unneeded. And this changes how we view relationships, what we ask or don't ask of other people, and even more so how we view ourselves, how we view what success and failure looks like even. That can change the trajectory of our relationships and how we interact with the other characters in our story, or how much we interact with them too. Let's talk about number two, codependence. It's interesting that this word gets a bad rap, doesn't it? Whereas that first word, not so much. Again, I think it's all about society. Because in our society, independence is prioritized as something to be prized. And in other societies and places in the world where family and community matter more than the individual, then codependence probably doesn't have such a bad reputation. But honestly, both can be unhealthy if they're taken to an extreme. Codependence is finding our sense of self and innate value inside the context of relationship. It means not relying on ourselves, but on someone else or a group in order to get our needs met. It means looking for affirmation from someone else to feel validated to move forward with decisions or even to be affirmed as an individual. Somebody who struggles with codependence may have a hard time even seeing themselves as an individual. It's like not feeling like a whole person without the other, whether that other be one person or a group. Imagine how viewing relationships in this context could affect the way you see your own story or understanding how the other characters in your story interact with your storyline. It could feel very overlapping, highly emotional, and enmeshed. It might be hard to see where your story differentiates from other characters at times. Or in other words, it might feel like you don't have autonomy in your own story, that your story is dependent on those other important characters. So now let's talk about number three, interdependence. You can probably guess, just like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, now we've gone through the one that was not right and the other one that was not right. So now we must be at the one that is just right. And you would be correct. We are designed to be interdependent, to have autonomy, to understand who we are as an individual, but also within the context of relationships, and to be reliant on other people. God designed us ultimately to be reliant and dependent on Him to get our needs met. We're not really the author of our story, are we? We're only in control of parts of it, not the whole thing. He is. And He also really clearly designed us to need other people, not to find our identity in them necessarily or to be enmeshed with them, but to interact in healthy and necessary ways. The author Andy Crouch says that a sign of wealthy societies is their drive for independence. The more money we have, the more we can afford to not need other people. Now, you may not feel wealthy, but if you have access to food, shelter, transportation, technology, and healthcare, then you are, by the world's standards, pretty wealthy. And if we can provide our own transportation and have access to technology, and we have money to pay for things, then we are in a position to not need other people, or at least not other people that we have to rely on. Like you could pay an Uber driver, or you could get DoorDash. You don't have to ask your neighbor for help. We could provide for ourselves. And this may be why Christ says that it would be easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven. In order to be a part of God's kingdom, We have to be aware of our own neediness. We are to care for others and also to receive care. We are to be aware of our own dependence on God to get our daily needs met and be willing to meet the needs of others in our path. It is the way of the kingdom. And ultimately, it's the path to joy. Not needing other people may feel like independence, but it also feels like loneliness, not being able to trust others, like fear, like pride, and a lot of disconnection and disillusionment. And that can affect how we view our stories and the other stories that interact with ours. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that and how somebody might work towards interdependence. I heard Andy Crouch, the author I talked about earlier, interviewed on Annie F. Downs' podcast. That sounds fun. This was a few months ago, and they talked about ways that they were on purpose working towards interdependence. And so Andy Crouch was talking about, and he is an empty nester now, and so he and his wife were realizing, like, there's not as much hubbub in their house anymore, and it's really quiet. They can kind of do their own thing, but maybe that's not the healthiest thing for them to be disconnected and on their own. So what they did was they rented out the bottom part of another family's house so that they would see other people and be a part of their lives. Now, if you're a part of a community or a neighborhood, that may naturally be a part of your life. But if you're not, it's easy to go a whole day and not have to interact with other people except maybe at work. So for them, that was one step to a way that they could intentionally have relationship with people that they were going to see on an ongoing basis. And then Annie F. Downs said, you know, she had not really thought about it till she read his book. But one way that she was going to try to prioritize that was when she was traveling, rather than calling for a taxi or an Uber, if she had a friend in that city, she was going to call them to come pick her up from the airport so that she could maintain relationship and see people and ask for help rather than using somebody she's never going to see again. I'll talk about myself. For me, interdependence and working towards that looks like asking for what I need. As an Enneagram 2, it's really hard for me to acknowledge my own needs and especially to ask other people to meet them. I hate the risk of being told no, but the risk is necessary. I'm learning I really can't do everything by myself, and sometimes I do need help, and it's worth the risk to ask. That affects how I'm willing to let other characters into my story and how I interact with them and how they interact with me. If I look like I never need help, then probably they're not going to offer it. But if I make myself vulnerable, then other people are more likely to come in. And what about you? What are small ways that you notice you want to work towards interdependence in your life? What are small ways that you can begin to let people in? Or, if you find yourself more on the codependent side, what are ways that you can begin to set healthy boundaries so you can begin to find your own sense of self and autonomy? As always, I hope that you will reflect on these topics with someone else. That would be part of interdependence, wouldn't it? How ironic. So first of all, with the Lord, I hope that as you're thinking about your own story and thinking about the characters and the people that are in your story, that you're doing that with the help of the Lord, with the Holy Spirit's help. I also hope that you're talking with other people, like a close friend, a wise mentor, a therapist, a spiritual director. We do our best reflection and growth with a good mix of solitude and reflection, and also bringing safe people into our world to help us process. And that is all for today's episode. But I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.